It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, hands off this week. He'll be back with us coming up on Monday, but joining us, he doesn't take any weeks off, Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com, kind enough to join us. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, what is this week off you speak of?
I know, right? None of that nonsense.
Certainly not during the trade deadline. Yeah, that wouldn't really fly around here.
You know, it's interesting. We kind of expect it to heat up any given moment here with the Jazz, but it just keeps staying quiet. Do you anticipate eventually the Jazz will pull the trigger on something?
On something, yeah. Excuse me. It's been a quieter than expected. I think it's going to be a quieter than expected trade deadline unless the Raptors really do decide to jump in and put Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby and maybe Pascal Siakam into the mix. And right now, I think you're getting vintage Danny Ainge. It's a seller's market. He has no real reason to back off his price yet. We're still 8 days out. I still think there'll probably be some kind of movement, but he can afford to sit back and wait for the market to come to him. He doesn't have to bend to the market.
Is it Mike Conley? You think the teams, and again, he still has another year on his contract, but you heard Kawhi Leonard say, you know, I'd really like a point guard to help out here. Is Mike Conley probably the one that ends up getting moved?
Yeah, I don't think Steve Ballmer is terribly concerned about taking on extra money. That's,
yeah, that's
not going to freak him out. He'll reach into the cushions in his couch and pull out an extra $30 million. I think Connolly is probably at the top of the list. I know that there's teams that I like to get Jamal Crawford. The other guy, though, is I'm surprised there's not more buzz about this because Malik Beasley is exactly the kind of player every team's trying to get right now. You know, can shoot it, can play the wing, is defends a little. Like, just I'm surprised there's not more buzz about him going somewhere. And maybe that's just quieter. I think one or both of them will move at the deadline. I don't know about Crawford. I don't. You know, obviously Markkanen and Walker Kessler and stuff are off the limit. I don't know how deep it's going to go though.
Kurt Heelan joins us from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Is the Jazz see Lauri Markkanen continue to play well? Walker Kessler, Oche Agbaje is an interesting player,
yes.
And we had him on the show yesterday. He didn't play a lot, but they're slowly working him in, and he's starting to really kind of figure things out.
There are always players like this where you like it's a potential thing, and it's. Look, it's something the Jazz have done well. I mean, going back to Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, it's been a very good development program in-house. And this is another guy with a lot of talent that, look, you don't bring him along. I guess if you're Detroit or even San Antonio to agree, but San Antonio is really good about not doing this, just like throwing a guy into the fire, right? Like, there is the, hey, we're going to let you learn like Troy Aikman learned and, you know, forget the 15 concussions, just go out there and learn, like, system of just throwing guys into the fire. But I think the better system for a lot of teams is with guys like this is to just a little bit here and a little bit there and a lot of work off the court and a lot of work off the court and then start giving them a little more and a little more so that they adapt to the situation and they're not overwhelmed. And when they finally get comfortable, you see results like this.
So everybody keeps a close eye on Cleveland for some reason around here. Their torrid start has kind of simmered a little bit. They've been playing a lot of 500 basketball as of late. Is that just kind of the drugs of January and February, just kind of going through the motions, or is there some concern there in Cleveland?
I think that the league caught up to them a little bit. I mean, Donovan missed some time recently, and I think there is some. They strike me as one of the teams when I'm watching them that's like, hey, have you booked your flight to Cancun for All-Star break? Like, I think there's a lot of that. There are certain teams around the league. I think there's some of that. I also think that they're a hot start, with all due respect to, you know, like Donovan Mitchell obviously be back as an All-Star starter. This is still a team with a couple of flaws, and I think some of the East has gotten better. Brooklyn has figured it out, and, you know, Kyrie, they're less of a mess. Philadelphia started slow. They've put it together, and as these teams start to put it together, there's just the top five in the East are all really good teams, and Cleveland may be the most flawed of them, so I think it's just catching up to them a little.
Kurt Heelan's with us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Has the Lakers turned a corner?
No. I don't.
Not buying it.
When I say. Excuse me, sorry. Look, Anthony Davis is back, so that helps. I think this is a team with very little margin, or actually very little margin for error. That's why you see them really up in arms about, look, not that LeBron was fouled, don't get me wrong, but like they're up in arms about calls because they need every break at this point. And they especially need every break in a West where you guys are in the middle of this too. And yesterday, I didn't look this morning, but yesterday there were four games separating the 4 seed and the 12 seed.
Yeah.
Like, just a few games here and there, and suddenly you're in the mix in this. So I don't think they've really turned a corner, but they can get – with Anthony Davis and LeBron both out there, they are capable of getting hot. But it takes a LeBron triple-double to beat the Knicks, and the Knicks are nice. Like, they got Jalen Brunson's good, but I don't think they're – I think they're a play-in team, but I don't think they're all that.
Well, all I know is the next time Jordan Clarkson gets fouled at the end of the fourth quarter on a potential game-winning shot, that I want to see a tweet coming out from the NBA officials saying that it's just been a gut punch and they're going to lose sleep over it. I'm sure they'll do that for every other player in the NBA when they miss a call.
So is it Malik Beasley? I'm trying to figure out which player is grabbing a camera and taking it over to the referee.
Oh, that would be would be Beasley for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's like, hey. By the way, now, like, it's so funny because the next game, like last night, Patrick Beverley got another technical, and your guy, he just yelled. Like, I need prop comedy now. I need more.
He's like the Carrot Top now of the NBA. But, I'm not going to lie. I was a little bummed out when the Jazz had got Beverly as part of that trade and he was moved before the season started. I wanted a little Pat Beverly theater here in Salt Lake City.
He is interesting. And I think, honestly, I don't think the Lakers are his best fit, but I thought he did a really good job in Minnesota. He is the guy who can hold everyone accountable.
Yeah.
He is the guy who's, for all his loud verbosity, and it rubbed some people the wrong way with the Clippers. They were also really good on defense when he was out there because he just doesn't let guys slack off. And I think there's you need a guy like that in every locker room. Like,
yeah.
Maybe it's just Udonis Haslem who's, you know, will be playing till he's 62 in Miami or something, but you've got to have somebody who can do that.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and the other thing, too, and kind of circling back to that Lakers call, I really felt like that tweet, man, it really rubbed me the wrong way, because they're not sending that out for anybody else but LeBron. No. And I, honestly, I was a little offended by it, because it's like, hey, you guys miss calls all the time. Don't give me some blubbering apology when it's directed at LeBron.
Yeah, I think that was high profile enough, because it was not just LeBron, but a highly watched Lakers-Celtics game on ABC. It got a lot of play because of everybody involved in the situation. And I was a little surprised they came out and said that, even though I thought what they did right after the game was good, which was the official came out and said, yeah, we looked at that. We screwed up.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know how far you can go beyond that. You know, I at the end of the day, and you know,
stuff happens.
Unless I don't know what you're going to do in basketball. This isn't tennis, man.
Yeah.
Like where we can get rid of the linesman and just go with the electronic stuff.
How much, you know, Denver is just quietly just doing their thing. And are you buying the Nuggets as a potential NBA contender?
Yeah, I am. I think, first off, I'm not sure. I think they've got as good a shot as anybody to come out of the West. I mean, obviously, we all keep waiting for the Warriors, and they've looked a little better lately, and they can flip the switch. But this is a team that's obviously got the superstar who's been clutch in the past in Jokic. And they've got – I mean, they just got depth. They can defend. They can play with versatility. They play different ways. Now, I don't know, Memphis – I want to believe in Memphis, but I'm not sure that they're there yet. They've just – some of their play lately has left me wondering if they're – there's some maturity, like this, their play on the road hasn't been great. Their play in the clutch when they lost recently against the Warriors made me think that maybe they're not quite there yet. I think Denver kind of is. I think Jokic is ready for that moment. I think Jamal Murray has never feared a moment.
Yeah.
So in a West that's wide open, I think they've really got a chance. I think the top three or four teams in the East are better than anybody in the West right now, but Denver's the one team that has all the pieces, starting with the, hey, I need a playoff matchup that's a real problem. They got one of those.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting, because this is, you know, you kind of get through the, you know, through Thanksgiving, and then you throw into Christmas, and then you're like, okay, this is who these teams are. This isn't an anomaly anymore. And you got Denver as the one seed, Memphis is the two, and Sacramento is the three. I mean, these are not teams that you're used to seeing traditionally be powerhouses. I know Denver's had a good run as of late, but you're looking, I'm like, okay, are these really the three best teams in the West and near the three best teams in the NBA? And I think we can safely say yes at this point.
Yeah, I still don't. It's the Kings that get me, partially because they just play they play terrible defense. Denver for the season is pretty bad defensively, but they are better of late. They're better when healthy. I'm still not – if there's a downside there, it's that. It's obviously Jokic is not a not a high flying rim protector.
No,
but I love watching Sacramento's like one of my favorite stories. Just the way that the whole city has bought into the like the beam thing and the sense of it. But at the end of the day, I got a feeling they get to the playoffs and everybody would like to face them because they're all offense.
Well, I think I mentioned this to you a couple of years ago. They were my NBA League Pass guilty pleasure. They weren't winning a lot of games, but they were always wildly entertaining. And now they're at a point where they're the three seed, and you love kind of the emotion of that city, as you mentioned. And so, I'm all in on Team Sacramento right now.
Now, I'm so happy for their fan base. You know, they've got the new arena. They kept the team. I mean, this was a team obviously that almost moved to Seattle a few years back. They get a new arena, and now, you know, I mean, they haven't made the playoffs since there was a Bush in the White House. Like, it's kind of fun to see that level of emotion and excitement from a starved fan base.
Kurt Helin, kind enough to join us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, as the NBA reaches its kind of that little funky time before the All-Star game. But yet, you still have games to play. And Will Hardy mentioned this with the Jazz. He's like, look, we got some home games coming up. You got teams that in their mind are already on Travelocity, punching their tickets to Cancun. We can make up some ground here, because if we stay focused, there's a lot of teams out there that aren't focused. And I think that's a good philosophy, too. If the Jazz can stay grounded, they can make a bit of a run here.
Actually, yeah, I think that's very true. I think at this point, there's a lot of things can happen over there, especially in a tight bunched up West. I think that's spot on. There's teams that are going to mentally check out. I don't envy bettors who bet the NBA this time as easy because guys just, you don't know who's going to play, but also just who's mentally going to show up and be there and who's like you said, already halfway to Cancun. So this for a team that can stay focused and pick up a couple of wins, this is a chance to make up a little ground. Turns out these games still count. In spite of this. So like I think Will is spot on there.
I know you're going to be here in Salt Lake City for the All-Star game. Is there an event that you look forward to that maybe kind of slides under the radar screen? Because I know it's easy now. People make fun of the dunk contest because we all grew up with Jordan and Spud Webb and these guys, and it's never going to hold a candle to what it once was. But are there events that you look forward to that maybe kind of fly under the radar that other people kind of scoff at?
Yeah, I was talking with this about just to plug a little, the podcast and video series I do at NBC with Corey Robinson, David's son. And we're like, remember when the dunk contest was? It was Kobe won the thing. Michael Jordan won the thing. Dominique Wilkins, right? And now it's like Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards and the guys we kind of want to – Zion. Like the guys we want to see do this don't do it. And nothing against Trey Murphy and everybody else, but it's just not – it's not the same energy. That's why I like – as events go, the three-point contest has just become my favorite because those guys do show up. Curry and Thompson and – all your sharpshooters show up for that event. So like, I think that Saturday night event's my favorite. And then quietly, like what's really fun, except I never kind of get to go to this, but it's a great event. They do a Legends Brunch on.
Looks like we may have lost Kurt Heelan. It's all right. Kurt, you there?
All came in. Yeah.
I lost you on that Legends Brunch and then you cut out.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, it's just, it is exactly what it sounds like. It's, all these legends come for All-Star Weekend and they have brunch and they have a couple speakers and whatever. And it's just, it's great stories and a bunch of people sitting in the room. And it's kind of it's not a public event, but it's like quietly just one of the coolest things of the weekend.
Mm. Well, should be a fun weekend for sure. We're looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing you down here in Salt Lake City. And we'll chat with you again next week.
Yeah, I'll get in touch with Lloyd and we'll figure something out. But yeah, I will be. Is it next week or
2 weeks?
My schedule.
Oh, I know. I hear you. I'm a mess as well.
I'm like, next week, I'm just following LeBron around until he breaks the record. So, all right.
Hey, we'll see you. There you go. Hey. Kurt Heelan right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.